You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Say, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough.
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Hey, Geeksters, welcome back. This is issue 35 of Geek Watch 1. Now, last week, we told you all Happy New Year. We said, hey, this is what we're looking forward to for the next year. Now comes the true craziness, the actual geek television lineup for the first part of this year. There is so much happening. It's amazing that we're living in the time we are.
And it's amazing if we ever leave our houses again based on everything that's coming on again.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing is not just, you know, comic-related stuff. I mean, we're getting fantasy stuff. We're getting
sci-fi.
I mean, it's just, it's like, whatever your geek is, there is a show out there for it, you know? Even you know, it's almost like some of the pulpy action stuff is starting to make a comeback, too. So, it's really is an exciting time for TV.
So that's what we're going to that's most of the show, and actually our new snippets, all of it, most of it's going to revolve around this. There's a couple other things we got in there, but first things first, Kylan, what have you and Dawn been doing this week? Anything special?
Working a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to survive the first full week back at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's trying to recover from that. Vicky luckily had worked through the break and stuff, so she didn't have a whole lot of adjustment, but I had like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks off. That hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then you had to be an adult and be the boss.
Yeah, I had to adult at work this week.
Oh, that sucks.
The plant manager and the next guy in seniority were both sick this week. And we had one of the most expensive and
tedious
jobs that we do was running this week. So I had to be an adult and be in charge of the most stressful run that we do. But I got a raise out of it.
Well, okay.
And you're a good
there you go.
To get a new roof on the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're getting a new roof. Probably coming in this week.
And we're looking into the house.
It's exciting.
Roofs are good.
Yeah.
We got a load of books from a friend.
Ooh.
We do for our for the Rubber City Book Posse. We always take part in the Akron Reading Festival beginning of February, and a reporter friend of mine remembered that we gave away books and contacted me like last week and asked if we needed any, and he stopped by yesterday and unloaded 12 boxes of books.
Yeah, so
mostly nonfiction, a lot of historical, sports stuff, and that kind of, so we have a lot of books for the reading festival.
There's usually a demand for a lot of the nonfiction stuff. So,
yeah.
If any of the geeksters are going to be in the area, is it the first weekend in February?
I believe it's the first weekend in February.
The Akron, the Rubber City Book Posse will be there again.
Main Akron Library. Stop by, pick up a bunch of books.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, what is the Reading Festival?
We don't want to take anything back.
What is the Reading Festival? I mean, you said it's at the library the first weekend of February, but what is this?
It's, The Akron Library puts on, it's basically the family reading festival where they encourage kids to read. They have a lot of kids authors and performers come in and do readings. There's craft things for the kids to do. Like everyone who has a table set up is supposed to have a kid's craft. So we usually have like a bunch of stickers and markers and paper for them to make bookmarks. Yeah, they have like the PBS channel is usually there. Local academies and science organizations are there. It's to encourage kids to read and learn and get the family involved.
Yeah, it was born out of our previous mayor's push to make Akron the most literate city in the country.
Okay.
And so what had been, 2005 or so, something like that, there was going to be a whole week of a reading week. And so there was – the kickoff was going to be the Akron Reading Festival, which was going to be on – the Saturday, and then there were going to be events at the local libraries all through the week, and then
the rest of that stuff kind of flaked.
Yeah, because was it like on Tuesday? The Tuesday or Wednesday following that was you were supposed to take This City Reads, and the plan was to take 15 minutes out of the day, and everybody was to stop and read for 15 minutes so that the city bonded together in literacy.
I think schools still actually do that, though.
Yeah, and actually, my former employer had we were a bunch of readers, and so they had no problem with us taking 15 minutes out of the day to read, because you know it was sort of like it was community service. I think was the way
that's we right. There you go. reading for the community.
So yeah, so and like Don said, I think the rest of that fell away, but. Fortunately, the Akron Reading Festival is still there.
And it's a free thing. And
yeah.
In the past, we've given away probably between 800 and 1,000 books in a single day at the Reading
Festival.
Yeah.
This is something that, off air, remind me to talk about this. This may be something we want to get behind it back, too, as the Geek Watch 1.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely within our wheelhouse because, you know, geeks read.
Exactly. So. Hey, if we didn't read, we wouldn't know any of this stuff that's coming up on TV. We'd have no idea what was going on.
Exactly.
That's true.
And pictures don't help.
That's right. Oh, no, you can read pictures. It's called comic books.
Still have to read.
Yeah, even they have word bubbles, so.
Exactly. Hey, and if you read some of those comics, you're reading a novel to get from panel to panel anyway. I'm trying to get through the Nightfall.
That is true.
I'm trying to get through the Nightfall graphic novel right now. It's some of the like info panels they have there. You got like 1,000 words on that one page.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So speaking of reading, Bart just contacted me this morning. He just read the first book of the Mortal Instruments. He's looking forward to the TV show that starts in a couple days.
Yeah, we'll get to that on the thing. Yeah, so. Bart's going to – hey, maybe he'll do a review of the books for us on his blog. That'd be actually kind of cool.
Well, he does a lot of cheesy stuff on the blog, though.
Yeah.
But, well, the books could apply, though.
It's 2016. Yeah. We can do what we want.
Yeah. So
– I want to talk about the Kraken.
That's – if we get enough Patreon supporters, we can unleash the Kraken.
No, not unleash the Kraken. Write about the Kraken.
Kylan doesn't want to go back to the Kraken.
Wrong I'm Kraken. I'm not talking about the Kraken.
Wrong Kraken. Arcatuthis, is that better for
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah. yeah, Vicky's still playing with her ideas for her blog of possibly putting on some crypto and some other geek stuff on there.
But Cam did get two of his friends, and the one he answered like really, really short, and I asked if it was okay if I could add, and he's like, okay. So I did.
It's interesting. She didn't really add to him, but she put a nice little PS at the end of it. So I'll have that up there. Miss Dawn will have that tonight so that she can get everything ready for Wednesday. So you guys know what to listen for or
See?
Read to.
Just a little bit of warning. If you guys like to help me out with my blog, go more than one a couple words, you know, in answers.
Well, you know, it's a matter of helping anyone out with their blogs.
Yeah.
Because, like, a couple words makes me want to, like, add stuff that you do with stuff. Or with stuff.
Okay, so that's pretty much what we've been up to this week. But Geek Watch 1 news, there's not a lot going on in Geek Watch 1 news. We got
what did we do?
The party last night?
Well, we went to the party and we did yoga on Sparta.
Oh yeah, we did yoga for the first time ever.
And so, oh, I didn't realize that was your first time.
Well, yeah, that was the first time I've ever done yoga anywhere.
Me too. We didn't even have a mat.
I think I'm going to stick.
Well, it's Jesse's first time, too.
Yeah. Our friend Jesse Cook went with us to yoga. Vicky and Jesse are going to keep going back. For me, it was most of the flexibility and stretching is stuff that I could do anyway at the gym. And I'm not personally going to get into the mental side of it. And the
yeah, I don't
feeling
blame you. That's one of the reasons I stopped going to yoga.
Well, the one I've heard about that sounds really cool is DDP yoga. You guys ever hear of that one?
Yeah, you were telling us about
dude.
It.
Yeah, yeah, Diamond Dallas Page. But he's taken basically the story he said was in the mid-90s when he was what?
I was going to say another reason I liked it is because you don't have to sign a contract. Because the ones Jesse was looking into, you had to sign a contract and you had to do like so many weeks and you had to pay for them.
Yeah.
So what if you don't like it?
Well, it depends where you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. With this one, it's was a beginner, first come, first serve kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was like $5.
Yeah, it's a suggested to it. They didn't even ask for actual cash. They have a jar sitting by the door, and if you want to drop $5 in there, cool. So that one was actually kind of cool. But the DDP yoga was, he learned yoga because he got injured in the wrestling ring, and his wife was helping him with flexibility with the yoga. So, but he's taken most of the spiritual and mental side of yoga out and taken just basically the movements, added a cardio element to, and added a little bit of strength training to it to turn it into DDP yoga.
Okay.
So he's basically built on the base foundation of yoga.
You took out all the hippie crap.
Basically.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the hippie crap.
So that the hippie stuff helps people. Some people,
if they're hippies.
You can. That's how you could. Didn't do kung fu. Kung fu is full of that.
I know.
Yeah.
I realize that.
I'm not into the mental side of the martial arts and stuff as much, or the spiritual side, or however you want to say it.
I'm not against hugging trees.
Trees are too rough. I'd rather hug people.
I've got a picture of me in a tree.
Yeah. So that was yoga, and they're going to keep doing that, and I told her, it's like, that's fine. She'll go to yoga on Friday nights. I'll take Vernon and go to over the gym. Because Vernon wants to try out that Planet Fitness anyway.
Right.
So, and since we both got the Black Card membership, we can take anybody we want.
Hey, the yoga,
Friday,
I was
Friday
popping
nights is pretty decent
in
over
them.
There because a lot of people know it closes early, so they don't go on Friday night.
Yeah.
Right.
What was that, Vicky?
You said with the yoga, I was my back and everything was popping and cracking.
Yeah.
But my ligament issues, I could tell that it was tightening it.
Oh, yeah, it'll tighten everything up for you. Okay, so Geek Watch 1 news. We really don't have a lot of in-stone set stuff. Remember, we have Seth Breedlove coming in early February to talk about his Kickstarter for the Boggy Creek movie.
Still trying to get Michael.
And we're actually... Vicky has been talking... Kylan and I, now that we've finished Empire of Imagination, we're going to give you guys a review of the book coming up in a future show. And we're actually got possibly some... a guest going to help with that. I'm not sure where Vicky's actually working pretty hard on that, and I'm going to help too. So hopefully we're going to get a guest to help us talk about that.
But the holidays, a lot of them aren't on.
Yeah.
Media right now.
Nobody's. A lot of people haven't come back yet after the holiday. They're still recovering.
Right.
Now at the end of this month, we have our Malted Meeple show. Remember, guys, the end of the month, every month, we have the Malted Meeple. Now, this may be changing this month because the end of this month is our anniversary show.
Right.
And so we're going to do something really special. I'm calling Carrington at the end of the show today. Keep an eye on our social media and the website, guys. Miss Dawn will let you know as soon as we have news of what exactly this is going to be. Before next week, we will know. We will have it down locked in stone. What else do we have that... Oh, there's one more that within the next 2 days I will put up on the website, too. So by the time this...
still want the professor.
Hmm?
You still want professor.
Yeah. But by the time this show posts, guys, there's going to be some news on the website, and maybe we'll just put the stuff up on the calendar also. So check the website to see any new news that's coming up. Motherwave Creations news. We still have Oddmall coming up in about a month now. The Oddmall Exploration...
Elsewhere?
It's Expedition Elsewhere.
That one. Expedition.
Expedition Elsewhere. It's coming up Canton, Ohio in February 13th and 14th. If you go to the oddmall.info website, you can choose Expedition Elsewhere. We still have the normal Oddmall in May and October of next year, But also, Con on the Cob. Remember, get your rooms now. Prices go up soon. I'm not sure. I believe probably the end of January is when the first price increase usually hits. So reserve your hotel room. You don't have to pay anything right now. All you got to do is tell them, hey, I'm going to be there, and give them a credit card number so that they officially have something to hold it on. But they don't charge you anything until you actually stay in the room. Also, you can buy your badges and register any events or panels or anything like that now. The earlier you have them on the schedule, the better choice you get. You can actually probably just pick your spot right now when you want to run it. So
that's true, because they're going to start filling up fast.
Don't wait till the last minute, because you'll get put wherever there's space, and you probably won't like your time slot.
Exactly. Yeah,
you don't want to be running a game at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night. Trust me, no one's going to be playing games.
Or at 8 a.m. on a Saturday.
No.
Yeah. Oh, what's even worse is the Sunday morning slots.
There you go. You don't want a Sunday morning slot. Get it in early.
So that's most of the Mother Earth Creations news. Now we...
Oh, yeah, because then they might actually, like, put you in the clown room at, like, 1 o'clock at Friday night.
Oh, that's another one. You don't want to get in the creepy clown room.
No.
Kylan was a fan of the creepy clown room.
I was not. I think I was in there for all of, like, 5 seconds, and that was it. I was like, no, done.
Okay, so now get into our news snip. A couple of quick news snippets before we get into our overall TV talk. Now, there's some TV stuff in here, too, but it's not anything that has huge amounts. So, Ms. Dawn, you want to start off with our first story here?
Well, basically, a show that a lot of people were looking forward to that we've mentioned before, in the hopes of it being created, the Teen Titans series is a no-go. TNT basically said that they've decided it's not the way they want to go with a live-action Teen Titans, so they've dropped it.
Okay. That really, I don't know if it would really fit with their normal schedule anyway.
It almost felt like giving them something to compete with ABC and CW and all of them now.
Yeah.
But they dropped it.
Okay. The nice thing, though, is if they dropped it, that means someone like a CW or a CBS, if CBS does well with Supergirl, which it looks like the ratings and stuff are starting to come back slowly.
Or Netflix.
And then if you look on IMDb, the star ratings on there are getting better every show. Mm-hmm. So as hopefully, or Netflix even, like Vicky said, one of those may pick up a chance. Or this may be a chance for something like Amazon. So Netflix has this deal with Marvel right now. Maybe Amazon will pick up a deal with DC or something and run the Titans on there.
It could happen.
So brings up a lot more options, because Titans is a very, very popular property right now.
Well, one of the things I don't think any of the articles noted was whether TNT dropped the rights entirely. They might actually still own it. And for the moment, they decided they're not doing anything with it, period. But if they still own the rights, no one else gets it.
Yeah, but does TV work the same as movies? I know movies, you buy the rights to a property and you hold it for a certain amount of time as long as you're doing it. TV, does it work the same way?
It all depends on the contracts.
Okay.
Along with movies,
but none of them mentioned it either way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The process is, like, non-existent.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one up is, I'm going to take this one, because we got some Star Wars news, but this one's a little different, guys. It's not about how well the movie's still doing phenomenal. We just broke, we're the number one highest grossing movie of all time in North America, heading towards, the way it looks now, because we're only a couple weeks into this still, we may break $1 billion in North America alone, because we're getting close to 800 million already. So, but the, anybody who's seen Force Awakens saw the riot trooper that fights Finn in outside Maz Kanata's castle. The guy with the Magnus staff baton. But he actually has a name now. He is TR8R. So Traitor is his actual name.
Well, technically, though, that's his nickname. His name is Nines.
Oh, okay. Wait, isn't he... Yeah, if I remember right, was it Beyond the Awakens, or was the name of the book that came out the same day as Force Awakens? It's officially a young reader book, but it's a series of short stories that's about the characters in The Force Awakens, Finn and Rey and Kylo, and it's short, and it's all just before The Force Awakens, so it's what happened that led them into the movie.
Well, a couple of them were at the beginning of when they were shooting up the town.
Yeah. So that explains who these guys are. Then when you hear Nines in here, he's a character that's actually in Finn's past. Finn was actually the leader
of a
four-member squad, and this was one of the four guys. So this one, the traitor is FN2199, so they just called him Nines. Let me see. I'm flipping through the article
I
here.
I thought that was Zero of Nines.
No.
Or was that the other one?
2199s. Now, the one thing
I... One of the other guys was the one that got killed at the beginning of the film that streaked blood on Finn.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, the one thing I've heard about Nines was... I heard a couple people... I don't know about online, but I had a couple friends who mentioned how they almost wished they hadn't used the name Nines. Because it's actually was a nickname in the Clone Wars also. There was a clone trooper, Nines.
Wow.
And they didn't like the just using the reusing the name.
Right.
But then again, it's like these troopers would not have known the clone troopers' names or anything else.
Exactly.
So it just since everybody's got a name or number designation just like the clone troopers, it would make sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got that's who that is, the one who dies. I forget which name he was. I got to read the book still. But he's actually identified which he is, but it's not mentioned here. So
wait, go back. It said right there. Go down. Scroll down. What? Between Finn, Friend Zero, the final two members of the squad.
Ah, okay. So Zero's the one that's still alive, or still out there. Nines, we know who he is now. And then there's one other... What was the name of the third guy? Well, if you read the Beyond the Awakening, Greg Rucka wrote it. It'll tell you who the names of the four guys are. I'm planning on getting the book, I just haven't ordered it yet. I did get the Force Awakens novel, though.
Of course you did.
Yes, right. Okay, next one up on the list... I'll let Kylan have the last one on the list because I know you're probably excited about that one. Dawn, you want to come up with the Ready Player One news?
Ben Mendelsohn's been added to the cast now that Steven Spielberg is done with BFG. He's finally turning to Ready Player One, and they've announced Ben Mendelsohn is joining as who did they say he was going to be now? Oh, he's going to be Sorrento. So he's he's not exactly the favorite, you know. He is basically the key antagonist, yeah. Sorrento. So he's joining it. The only other one we know so far is Olivia Cooke as Artemis, and the movie so far is still expected to come out in December of 2017, and they're going to start shooting it later this year. So that's all the news we have for that. There will obviously be a lot more forthcoming since shooting's coming up.
Oh yeah. Well, the one thing I don't have any negative because I'm going to love this movie no matter what. But the only problem I had was kind of the one you had when they first mentioned Olivia as Artemis was the fact that in the book, until the very end of the book, the big surprise is Artie's a guy or a girl.
Right.
So now they've already told everybody Artie's a girl.
True.
So it's going to it's going to be interesting going into it knowing this and then seeing the difference in the way they play it.
I'm more interested in the reality versus virtual reality versions of people.
Yeah.
If they're actually approaching it the same way the book did, where people look completely different and that kind of thing.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see... well, I know there's a lot of people watching this book, producers and movie studios and stuff, because do you guys ever read Snow Crash? I think it's Neal Stephenson.
Haven't read it yet.
No.
It's an amazing book. I know they already have had that in development for a while. It looks like at this point, it's another cyberpunk book. It takes place in a virtual world similar to this. It's a lot more industrial world where the real world has been taken over by your advertising. Take what we have now where advertising and all these people control everything. Well,
right.
Put that to the extreme to where everything is sponsored by something.
Right.
Well, that's the type of world this, and it's about hero protagonist is the character's name. The guy who's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of right on the nose. But he's a skateboard riding, katana wielding pizza delivery boy, who's also a hacker.
Right.
So, and I know they've been working on pre-production and stuff for this for years. Hopefully, if Ready Player One does well, they'll get the green light and go ahead and get this into production and go. So,
see, that makes me want to go and play Shadowrun.
Yeah, this is a straight-up Shadowrun-style book. So,
cool.
That's Ready Player One. Now, Dirk Gently gets a green light, and we get a Doctor Who spinoff. Dawn, what do we got on that?
Okay. Anyone who's a fan of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy knows that Douglas Adams also wrote a very short-run kind of mystery series starting with Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. And the only reason it was short-run was he was midway through a third book when he died. So that's why we didn't get more than two books. But there have been a few productions of Dirk Gently over the years, and they've announced that there's going to be a series. I don't know if it's intended to be short run or what, but it's for BBC America. And basically the premise of Dirk Gently is, okay, Douglas Adams himself put it this way. It's a thumping good detective, ghost, horror, whodunit, time travel, romantic, musical, comedy, epic.
So it's a detective story in the Hitchhiker's Guide Galaxy.
No, not really.
Because
that's the confusing part. There's time travel in terms of going back centuries, and there is romance, and there's horror elements, and it's sci-fi, and it's kind of crazy, but if you read Douglas Adams, you kind of know how that goes. The novel itself is difficult to read at first because it's almost like a Tarantino movie. It jumps back and forth and you don't know where you are when you're first reading it. And you almost have to go back and read it a second time right away.
Okay.
But it is funny. Like it's Douglas Adams. So it's funny. But it is going forward. The production of it, which they've been talking about for a little while, but they don't have any, you know, kind of dates or anything, but they've greenlit a scripted series for Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Okay, well, Kylan, talking about Douglas Adams, have you started to read your Douglas Adams yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, I started reading it as soon as I got done with
Empire.
So
okay. So
I finished Empire in the morning, and I started Hitchhikers that evening.
So we expect a report when you're done.
BBC News. He'll have it on his blog.
Yeah.
So what is the next Doctor Who spinoff we're getting in 2016?
Well, basically, it's an 8-part series called Class.
Okay.
That is a spinoff that's set in a school. So there's been a couple schools that have come up in the past couple of seasons of Doctor Who, so it's likely going to be one of those.
I think I heard about this about a month ago, didn't they? And they were talking about it being...
Yeah, but they finally confirmed it.
Yeah, they were talking about it being the one that Clara was the teacher in. Remember that? They got stuck outside of the school in the future or whatever it was?
Yeah, they have not... There's no mention of Clara being involved in this.
Okay.
What I think might happen is... Now, I can't remember her name, but there was that one really smart-mouthed student.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that she might be the feature.
Okay.
But anyway, it's... It's being filmed in Cardiff, which any Whovian will know is where they filmed basically all of Torchwood and bits of Doctor Who. And it's supposed to premiere this year. So there will be more details coming, but that's all I have right now.
Okay. Well, how many spinoffs have we had for Doctor Who? I know we had the Sarah Jane Chronicles. We have Torchwood. There was an old canine series back in the 80s or 90s, wasn't there?
Yes, very brief.
What else was there actually?
See, a lot of them have come out in the UK and aren't available here. Like, Sarah Jane Chronicles was really big in the UK. You can get it here now. But then a lot of them have been, like, the audio stuff and the comics, and it hasn't been actual on television sort of stuff.
Well, so. Most of those, the audios and the comics, were actual Doctor Who, though.
Right, yeah, but there have been spin-off editions, too.
Oh, okay.
But this is kind of a... almost a bigger deal because it's in conjunction with BBC America, so we know we're going to be getting it here.
Right.
Okay. a couple more quick snippets. There is a full trailer for the Stephen King, J.J. Abrams series on Hulu. It comes out February 15th. It's called 12-22-63. 11. 11-22-63. No, that is not my locker combination.
Well, it's Kennedy's assassination is what it's about.
Yeah.
Which is the significant date. But I've read maybe half of Stephen King's novels because he got much too florid and descriptive and 1,000-page things that I didn't want to read eventually. And I never read this one because it's kind of a historical event sort of thing. And the whole point is going back and changing it. And I didn't read much into it, but seeing the trailer, it looks so much more creepy than I really thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they want, James Franco is the main character, they want him to go back and stop the assassination, but every time he tries to change one little bit of time, something comes after him to try and stop him from doing that.
Hmm.
Which is a kind of a different way of looking at the whole time travel thing and changing historical events and that sort of thing, which, you know, I guess King brought that in because of the whole horror aspect. But the trailer does look pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Where they make Kennedy go back in time and kill himself.
Yeah, that was a great. That was one of my favorite changes of the Kennedy storyline was when Red Dwarf did it.
Right.
And they actually went back in time and bumped Lee Harvey Oswald out the window, and thus Kennedy was never killed.
Right.
So
then they got a future or past self and didn't kill his.
Mm-hmm. Go back in time, get Kennedy before he becomes the politician, and have him shoot himself as the president. So that's who was on the grassy knoll. It was Kennedy from the past.
Right.
Before that.
That's why there was a magic bullet.
So that covers most of it. There's one more big one that, Kylan, I think you want to talk about this one a little bit, you think?
See, that's the whole...
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Well, ABC Paul Lee revealed that the network has given a pilot order to Marvel's Most Wanted, which is the spinoff from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. featuring Mockingbird, Bobby Morse, and Nick Blood's character, Lance Hunter. Wasn't sure that we were going to actually see this, because about a year ago, so maybe last April, there had been rumors, but then it was dropped. Now, the other thing is that in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the Captain America 75th anniversary special, which will be on before episode one of season two of Agent Carter, and Marvel is supposed to be making a major announcement then. I don't know if it's tied to this or something else, but either way, I'm excited to see this. I was almost expecting it to be a mini series, but if they're spinning the two of them off into their own show, and if this show does well, then what else can we see come out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because they're definitely setting up Secret Warriors. Which, well,
this whole season was originally
see that. So.
This whole season was originally called Secret Warriors, wasn't it? Wasn't that the tagline at the very beginning of the season?
Well,
I saw a trailer or something that had that on it.
There was something in the trailer about that, but nothing has actually been said until the last season. I mean, the last episode before of the mid-season finale, when you see the team actually together, more or less. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
Okay. Now, we know Mockingbird's actually a character straight out of the comics. Hunter in the comics?
Lance, I'm not familiar with Lance. I think he was a character who was created for the show. If anything, he may have been an amalgamation of other characters, because in the comics, Lance has Bobby has an on again, off again relationship with Hawkeye. Like they are married, divorced. Let's get back together. No, we're no good for each other.
So he is Lance Hunt in the comic books.
Yeah, so you know, it's so that you get that relationship with Hunter, because in the MCU, Hawkeye is Family Guy, you know, married off on the farm.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't mean that she and Hawkeye haven't had a relationship in the past. I would love to see the two of them in a scene together, just to see how deep that they'll take that. But I think you get the similar dynamic between her and Lance that was in the comics between her and Clint. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, a quick question for you, Mr. Mighty Marvel Geek yourself. what do you think is the chances that at some point we're actually going to get a little bit more of a crossover between television and cinematic, where either we see the more likely is you'll get cameos from the TV guys on the movies, but what's the chances of getting cameos from some of the movie characters actually onto some of the TV shows? Because at this point, when that one goes forward, we have three Marvel TV shows running at the same time, all part of the same cinematic universe.
Right. Well, okay. Now, well, you remember, we have gotten Director Fury, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've gotten Sif, and we've also gotten Maria Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now on the flip side, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not sure if we're going to get any unless it's Coulson. which I don't think we will ever see Coulson in a cinematic again. I don't know, because
they still think he's dead.
They still think he's dead. Like now, they now, don't know that he's alive.
Now that would be an interesting scene. They come in and he's sitting in the room just to see what Thor and, or Captain, especially Captain America, but Captain America and everybody else do when they see Coulson sitting there.
Right.
Well, I mean, and you know, Cap has a very high security level, and even Cap doesn't know that Coulson's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, though, like, would he even look into it? Like, it's not something they're going to announce, even if it, you're at a high security level. But would he even bother looking into it, or just presume, well, yeah, he's dead because everyone knows he's dead?
Cap would just presume that he's dead. But Fury would say, oh.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he would say, oh, you know, Steve, there's something you need to know.
I don't think anyone in the television universe, like the characters, I don't think they have kind of enough cred to make it into the cinematic universe.
No, because all the other characters are street-level characters.
I mean, like, even into a cameo. That's why you can have the cinematic showing up on the TV more than anything. And plus, the one that you're not going to get is anyone showing up on Agent Carter.
Right.
Really? Yeah. I mean, because of time-wise, the timeline.
Wait, hold on.
Uh-oh, Kylan's got an idea.
No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count because Carter was in the movie, then the TV series, then back in the movie. Well, yeah, but
that's the same thing as talking about Coulson. Like, Coulson is the spinoff. Right. He is the permanent cameo.
Yeah, so see, really? I mean, I was sitting there, I'm thinking, like, what? No, that doesn't
count
either.
Carter's the permanent cameo on her own series.
But, right.
And, you know, she's going to be in Civil War.
Right.
Not for long, but that's about as far as she makes it.
Yeah, and I was sitting there, Howard Stark doesn't count either.
I mean, it's the timeline issue, though. Like, having him, obviously, the ones that were the early in the first Captain America movie could show up on Agent Carter, but that's kind of done.
Right, but, you know, like, we're not going to see anybody from... I don't think we will see anyone from the Netflix series over in the cinematic, because those characters are the street level characters. Yeah.
What about crossover TV wise?
Oh yeah, you'll see
Netflix to TV.
Possibly
depends on which
possibly
show.
Possibly because depends on what's going on. If Punisher somehow is doing something that if he's taking out Inhumans, if he's taking out Inhumans, then
if S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing stuff in the city, there's no reason why,
and that's something that could happen. You know, and I'm pretty sure that Frank Castle is definitely on S.H.I.E.L.D.'s radar anyway. So, you know. But I can't see other than that. I'll see crossover in the television universe before I see crossover from television to the movie.
Oh yeah.
So, well, I got another one for you, real quick. Just staying on Marvel for just a minute. Right now, the television universe working with cinematic, you have two timelines running. I mean, they're in the same timeline, but you got two time periods. What's the chances in an Agent Carter type show of getting some of the legacy Marvel characters? There's not as many, but the Android Human Torch, maybe bring in Namor.
See,
Captain America was there too.
You can't, because the problem is that Human Torch is owned by Fox.
But no. That's the Johnny Storm Human Torch, part of the Fantastic Four. The original Human Torch was a totally different character with the same name.
Yeah, but see, and that's true. But the thing is, Fox would throw down the brand confusion card.
They can try.
And
I don't think Marvel would want that either.
No.
Because that it would make people think they suddenly have the rights to Fantastic Four and something else is going to come.
Right.
Well, it looks like they made up with it anyway.
But to your point, though, I could see some of the legacy ones, like some of the more obscure kind of characters coming through with who Peggy and her entourage come across.
Right.
Yeah, or get mentioned or show up on the news.
Well, there is, there is going to be a character who becomes a major villain is figuring heavily into season 2.
You mean Lady Mask?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, Man of Mask, and Radiation Man.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, those two, and you do get the Magia in this season as well. So those are
They do have classic villains coming.
Well, what else? So they're classic villains.
What other Marvel characters were created back in the '40s that have actually made it through to now? I know we got Submariner,
right.
Captain America, and Human Torch. Who else was there in Marvel back then?
Because
I know that Marvel basically had a totally new rebrand in the early '60s.
Yeah.
Right. See.
A lot of those originals don't even exist anymore.
Right.
Which actually gives reason for them to throw them in, because then people can't say they recognize them, and it gives them a whole new thing to play with, because they don't have to worry about storylines.
Yeah,
that's true. So, and you know, Marvel has a very deep library of characters, so they can, as they proved with All New, All Different, they have no problem dipping in and bringing up a character nobody has seen since 71.
Okay.
And doing something interesting with them. True. So that, and you know, that's true. We may see a character who may not necessarily be the costume version, but they're the alter ego of that character in Agent Carter. Because I don't think we're going to see much in the way of costumes. Agent Carter, but, you know.
Well, they said Madame Mask, even though they're introducing her character, she's not going to get to the point of wearing the mask on the show.
Right.
Okay. So. Well, what else we have in the way, since we're already into TV news at this point, what other Marvel news do we have for television? As we're going, what are the premiere dates for, because we got basically the only two Marvel shows
TV. I think it's better if we just go chronologically, though, like not, because otherwise we're going to have to go back and forth and pick and choose.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is one big obvious thing.
What?
Daredevil.
Well, yeah, but that's in the list.
Right, so.
Yeah, we'll get to that one.
We don't want to go back and forth.
Oh, we'll see.
We'll run down the list and we'll see if there's anything.
Other than that, I can't think of any Marvel. All the stuff is after.
Shows are having their premiere dates.
Yeah.
So starting off, we've already had some premiere this past week, and then as of release time of this, there'll be a couple more new ones. But Dawn, go ahead and start at the front of the list, and we'll see where we go from there.
Okay. Basically, I'm just going from January 1st. Big one January 1st was Sherlock, Abominable Bride. If you missed it, it was PBS, so it's probably not hard to find. January 3rd was The Simpsons, Gallivant, Family Guy.
Gallivant was awesome.
January 4th was Supergirl, so you know we caught that one.
Yeah. Well, let's go into some Supergirl news, and while we're here. Dawn, you got the first article up on there.
The People's Choice Awards was this past week, and Supergirl won Favorite New TV Drama, which was kind of a surprise, I guess, partly for category.
Right.
And just the fact that it won, period, I thought that was pretty cool.
Well,
it's been getting good enough numbers to be the people's choice.
Right.
Well, technically, all of the superhero shows fall into the drama category for television. I don't know why, but they do.
Well, I mean, they don't really have another one. I mean, like, only the two categories are drama and comedy or musical.
Yeah.
Those are the main categories. They don't have an action.
There's no action. There's no science fiction. No. Nothing like that.
Yeah, I think they have an action category for movies in People's Choice, but not for television, which they're going to need because of all the shows that are out there.
Right.
Also, as I put up the one last night on here, let me bring up the article real quick, but the next episode we see of Supergirl is going to bring in another Martian. They're bringing in a white Martian. This is, I guess, the guy who actually, in the white Martians, anybody who doesn't know the history of Martian Manhunter, the white Martians, there was the green Martians, which are John Jones and guys like him.
Right.
And the white Martians were, had a little bit different power. They didn't have I know they did not have any problem with fire and some other things, but the white Martians are the ones that actually destroyed Mars.
Right.
So it looks like this is the guy, the synopsis that CBS put out was Kara must help Hank face his painful past when a white Martian, a member of the alien race that wiped out his people, kidnaps Senator Miranda Crane, an anti-alien politician. Also, Kat's estranged son, Adam, arrives in National City.
Of course.
So, well, anybody who knows from the comic books, Adam is actually her son in the comic books who ends up getting killed by one of the supervillains. I forget which one.
Oh.
So.
Well, I have to say, though, this past week, the premiere of Supergirl, it was kind of cool seeing John Jones actually become something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
And until that happened where he became Supergirl, I was trying to think, how are they going to do this? And then just before
that
happened.
You didn't see that coming? Come
just
on.
Before that happened, it clicked. Wait, she knows a shapeshifter now.
Exactly.
So.
Okay, moving on. This past week, I guess technically last week, the 5th saw Teen Wolf premiere and the Shannara Chronicles. Did you guys end up watching Shannara Chronicles?
Oh, Shannara Chronicles was awesome.
Okay.
So, did you guys see it at
how
all?
How is it, like, for being an MTV show, though? Like, is it really, like, youth-oriented, or does it actually hold up?
I thought it felt very good. It was a very fantasy feel, which is weird knowing that it's a future show. It takes place way in the future to where, like, past what you think Planet of the Apes style. I mean, so far in the future that there is some ancient human relics there, but you're talking thousands of years in the future from us.
Right.
It couldn't be that much.
No? But it's a totally
because
different...
Because it's amazing how society can decay in, like, no time.
Yeah. But it's basically, in the past, there was this war between the forces of good and forces of evil, basically. The demons versus the elves and all those races. And the good side had won and trapped the demons in this giant tree. And then, so as long as this tree is alive, the demons are still trapped in the tree.
As long as the leaves are on the tree.
Yeah, as long as the leaves are on the tree. So the tree starts to die, so every time one of those leaves hits the ground...
Oh yeah, I saw something in the trailer about the leaves falling.
It releases another demon. And at this point, people have forgotten that, or think magic was just legend. There's no actual thing as magic. I mean, the elves are there, and you have elves and dwarves and all these other things, but...
No, it's the elves and the last druid.
Yeah, Manu Bennett plays the last druid on the planet.
And then you got the rogues, basically, and the trolls.
So, and the way this is set up, it has a very... I mean, it's fantasy. This is straight-up fantasy, so you get the feel of the trope of a role-playing game party type deal. You have a rogue, you have a druid,
you have a healer, you have a fighter,
all of the... So you have your main... Your archetypal characters working together in a quest to try to save the tree.
Okay.
So.
Not quite at that point yet in the show.
So the first episode was 2 hours long. And actually, it's on Vudu for free right now. So you can download it for free.
Is it going to be weekly at 10 p.m. or was that just a premiere time?
I believe it's week because that premiered right after Teen Wolf, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it would make sense that they'll keep it right behind Teen Wolf. They'll run Teen Wolf at 9 and that at 10. Okay. So Teen Wolf is actually pretty good. Have you guys watched Teen Wolf at all?
No.
This season actually has a very steampunk feel.
Okay.
Really?
So yeah, check out season 5 from the beginning. I believe it's all on MTV.com for free to watch.
The Doctors.
Yeah, the Dread Doctors is what it is. It's this book that they found that they find out this fictional steampunk horror type book isn't quite as fictional as they thought it was.
It's more of a diary.
It's more of a diary of what happened. So you guys may actually like this season.
Okay.
So I mean, it's got your teen love type stuff back and forth and the drama that they put in there.
And the dreads will mess with you, do things with you, and you don't even know it.
Yeah. They like erase your memory after they've done whatever they do. It's kind of like what was it, Silence in Doctor Who?
Kind of. Yeah. They kind of snap for no reason.
So, and this season's all about chimeras, mixes of different supernatural creatures.
Okay.
So, that's Teen Wolf and Shannara. The Shannara Chronicles does not feel like an MTV show.
Well, that's a good thing.
And John Rhys Davies is the king of the elves.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that, yeah. Okay, we move on to January 6th, this past Wednesday. American Horror Story Hotel came back. We haven't watched American Horror Story in a couple seasons because we grew up on it.
Yeah, we've not seen any of it.
Then Thursday you had Elementary, Big Bang Theory, and Heroes Reborn. Did you guys catch Heroes?
Yeah, we saw Heroes. Heroes looks like it's getting really good. We have, 2 more episodes net left?
Yeah, it seemed kind of odd that they had a break, and now we basically just get 3 episodes and it's done.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there any report on how the...
2 more episodes left.
Is there any report on how the ratings have been doing? Is it doing as well as they thought it would?
I haven't heard anything about Heroes Reborn. Mm-mm. Like, it's kind of disappeared in terms of news.
I know you don't.
I haven't even heard if there's another season scheduled or anything.
Hmm.
They have to be doing halfway decent enough because they're actually going through a full season.
Yeah.
Right. That's true.
The break would have given them plenty of time that if it wasn't doing well enough, they could have just not brought it back or they would have put it online only. They've done
Just announced that it's not coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. They've done that with other shows too. It's like, you know what? It's not doing well enough to keep it on air, so we'll just let it go and then put it up on the website.
What are you talking about? That's true. First episode.
Yeah. So
the preview for the rest actually did say season finale. It did not say series. So there's that bit. So we'll try and find out if that's coming back.
We got to watch Big Bang Theory. I forgot that came back this week.
Tonight, which is, you know, we record on Sundays. Tonight, Bob's Burgers is back, which makes me very happy. By the time we post this, iZombie will be back on Tuesday.
Vernon will be happy.
Interestingly enough, a Mad TV reunion special will be on the CW.
Mm-hmm. That's different.
You saw that? Yeah, exactly. I was wondering about it, and I really haven't seen much more than just seeing it on the schedule. So, and then there's Tuesday is also Shadowhunters, which I know Vicky has something about.
Yeah, tell what Shadowhunters, Vicky.
Basically, the way I would describe it is the Shadowhunters. They're like the cops of the supernatural world. They take care of the vampires that do stuff they shouldn't be doing to do the mundanes or the humans.
And this is based on a book series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a book series. They did a movie a couple years ago. They did
Immortal,
but
it's not called Shadowhunter. It's Mortal Instruments, right?
Mm-hmm. This is, they aged up. Like, some of the stories is going to be older, because I think they kind of learned that adults are going to actually want to watch this. So the kids, instead of them being 16-year-olds going around killing stuff, they're actually 18 and older now. So some of the situations, instead of a love triangle, it's an octagon love triangle, like, thing going on between all the characters. And they're all much older now.
Yeah. But Shadowhunters themselves, the name Shadowhunters comes from the characters that Shadowhunters, the book.
Because they're half angels and half human.
Yeah. They're half angel, half human, fighting in they call it the Shadow World, where all the supernatural stuff that you've ever heard of, all the legends, they all exist. Problem is, it's almost like they're half out of phase, so that humans cannot see them.
That's because it's called a rune.
Yes.
So they have a rune, so it's invisibility.
So it's interesting. They're fighting a war, and the rest of the world doesn't even know it's happening.
That's why I said they're like the cops.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, for anyone who hasn't read the books, they're going to have to get used to basically the world that this is. And get used to all the phrases and all the type of characters.
Yeah.
It's a now situation. It's not a futuristic.
Exactly. That's what's kind of cool about this. That she was just saying it takes place now, time wise, like Supernatural or these other ones, where it's in our world, but our world doesn't know what's happening. So
taken on in the shadows, and no one would know.
Mm-hmm. What's
the main part of the right now is basically there's vampires killing humans. And they're trying to stop it.
So, okay.
That gives
so
you
to us humans, it's basically like everyone's just getting murdered, like can't figure out why. Yeah.
So,
you know, you're in New York and you've got people in the gutter.
Well, the interesting thing is ABC Family is actually using this to help rebrand their show channel a little bit too, because they're no longer ABC Family.
No.
It's now on Freeform is what it's called. So it's going to be interesting to see what else they put on here to if they're using this to help rebrand their channel. Maybe they're going to go this direction a little bit more.
Right, based on the popularity of all the other kinds of shows that are based on books and comics, they might be leaning towards that. Yeah.
Well, if you look, ABC Family, I see in the realm of where your TV network channels are, like you have your ABC, NBC, Fox. Those are top dogs. No one's going to take them off their throne. But then you end up on the second tier there. You end up with like a CW, an ABC Family, and a couple of ones in there. And I think CW is actually trying to make a push towards that top tier. And maybe ABC Family is looking at this like maybe this is their chance to go in that direction, because CW has added a lot of comic book and geek shows, and it's added to the ratings. They're pulling ratings from the big four.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is what ABC Family is going to try to do to try to jump on the coattails and go with it.
Right.
So it's going to be an interesting show. Vicky's read all the books. There's how many books in the Mortal Instruments series?
Well, if you're going with The Clockwork, there's 9. And she's got another series coming out in March.
You know, they're all basically 3-book series, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does trilogies of books, and they're in multiple different time frames. The Clockwork series she talks about is actually Victorian times. The Mortal Instruments is modern times. So
she's got one that's like 5 years after the last one ended.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting that she goes in 3-book arcs, but it seems like that works for a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So what do we got next on our list?
Well, okay, we get it into basically from the date we post this episode on. I put on the list Face Off for January 13th because a lot of people out there are into cosplay and makeup, that kind of thing. So Face Off premieres again the 13th. Then we have Colony on USA that premieres on the 14th, which is a new show.
I think I heard about this like 6 months ago, but I don't remember anything about it.
It looks like one of those apocalypse ones again, I think.
Okay.
So, one of the interesting ones for history and literary geeks on January 18th, But History, Lifetime, and A&E are playing a miniseries, a new one for War and Peace. So I thought it was interesting that like three networks are actually going to be playing this at the same time. So if you've read the book or claim you've read the book or always wanted to but don't really want to read the book, War and Peace, January 18th.
If I remember right, I've never read it, but I've talked to a couple people that have that said, unless you really, really like historical fiction, don't even touch it because you won't make it past the first chapter.
I mean, it is the classic historical fiction. It's got the war, the romance, the everything that's historical fiction. And then we get to the big week. That is the beginning of the big week for a lot of superhero geeks. On the 19th, we have The Flash and Agent Carter.
Okay.
We'll talk about these in a group, I think. Let me just get through the list. The 19th, we have The Flash and Agent Carter. The 20th, we have Arrow and Supernatural. The 21st, we have Legends of Tomorrow starting up and The 100 coming back. So I guess we had a little bit on The Flash that there's going to be a small crossover sometime in the 15th episode with Diggle and his wife showing up to help Flash battle King Shark, who has escaped from Argus.
There's actually a big announcement that Flash just made. Vicky just found it. I brought up the story. I haven't even had time here. I'll drop it in the doc now.
Is it the Kevin Smith announcement?
Yeah. Did you just get that too? According to this, it came up today.
Yeah, I saw that about a half hour ago at the because of the Television Critics Association tour. They announced Kevin Smith is directing an episode of The Flash.
I think that's going to be awesome. Anybody who knows Kevin Smith, he
hasn't done anything for CW since Reaper.
But Kevin Smith knows his comic books.
Then he may not get the metal spider.
So, yeah, and here maybe the Warner Brothers executives won't make him put a metal spider in the third act.
Well, and the funny thing is, this is his first DC project.
Yeah, which is funny because he's written all kinds of DC.
Because he did Arrow.
He didn't do any. He hasn't directed any episodes. She's talking about directing TV.
The comic.
No, I'm talking about the directing.
Oh, directing. No, sorry.
So, has he directed any TV other than Reaper?
By the one of the last ones of season two, though, so it's coming up quick.
Awesome. Has he directed any other TV? You said he directed Reaper, but
For the CW, yeah, he's done other. Hasn't he done some other stuff?
He did an episode of Degrassi.
Well, yeah, he did Degrassi. Well,
they couldn't keep him away they couldn't beat him off with a stick fast enough to get him away from that one.
Yeah, no kidding. He loves the Canadian stuff. But then I guess for Arrow, we have the news that because of rumors that shouldn't even have been rumors, Stephen Amell confirmed that his contract runs through 2019.
Yeah.
Even if Arrow doesn't exist through then, that's when his contract runs through. Because I guess something was said about a couple of these disreputable blog sites posted things about, is Stephen Amell leaving Arrow, like in their headline,
no,
without even having any basis
context
to the story.
Yeah. It was basically clickbait.
They took his words out of context. When he was saying, Felicity, you know, if she was the one that dies, you know, he would be angry and he'd leave and blah, blah, blah. What is it? They took it out of context.
Right.
So.
And speaking of Felicity, this is going to be spoilery. So, like, skip the next 5 minutes if you don't want to know. Comicbook.com posted the video for the trailer in Australia of the return of Arrow. And of course, there's been speculation about, does Felicity live or die and what happens? Basically, within this trailer, there's a scene in the hospital waiting room between Felicity's mom and Oliver. And her mom specifically says, the damage to her spinal cord is permanent. She's never going to walk again.
So now we are finally going to get Oracle.
Number one, Felicity's alive. Number two, this goes straight towards the speculation that they're turning Felicity into Oracle.
They've been doing that for like three and a half seasons already.
Wait, hold on. Wait, I just thought about something.
Uh-oh.
Okay, now, when Barbara Gordon became Oracle, she underwent training to learn how to fight from a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in Richard Dragon, who was partnered with Bronze Tiger, Ben Turner, who we haven't seen since the first season. First and second season. So we might get to see Richard Dragon first time ever televised, and that'd be
so
awesome.
You're pushing the speculation way out into whatever something.
Well, no, not
because
because I don't think that she's gonna allow Oliver to train her, because she's gonna be too mad. And this would be like a really, oh, this would be
awesome.
But
see, this would be cool to actually put Oracle on the show, because obviously they can't get Batgirl.
No.
So this would be the way of turning someone into Oracle. And it makes sense based on Felicity's skills already with the computers and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
she
they
almost
already
acts as their Oracle anyway.
Right. Like I said, since the beginning, people have been speculating about this one anyway, because everything she does is what Oracle would do.
Right.
But then again, you look at Smallville, they did the same thing with Chloe Sullivan, especially towards the end when she was working in the Watchtower. So.
Yeah, but Oracle was screwing Ollie. Oh, wait, the same thing.
Yeah, see? They just changed the name.
So it'll be interesting. But that was the spoiler from the Australian trailer anyway.
Mm. Well, anybody who's even seen the American trailers knows that Felicity's alive.
So then who's dead? Who's dead? Who's dead?
Yeah, now, is it the speculation, dog? Who dies?
Is it the dog?
So at this point, we don't know who's in that grave.
I still think she's pregnant.
Hmm?
Yeah.
There's still characters that may be introduced.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Right?
We still don't know.
But it has to be a big enough character for Ollie to be upset.
Right.
But if Roy comes back, he's supposed to.
That'd be an interesting one to change.
Right.
He comes back and then dies in that episode or something. I'm still leaning towards Captain Lance, myself.
I'm thinking it's the baby.
Which baby?
Ollie's got a baby, or had a baby.
Oh, you're talking about Connor?
No! Felicity would have been pregnant.
Oh, if Felicity was pregnant? That'd be an interesting twist.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't have the big gravestone and everything and have...
A lot of people do on a miscarriage and stuff. They'll still actually have a burial in a grave.
It could be his son because...
Well, it could be his actual son.
Oh my gosh, that's right, because Ollie and Barry knows about it.
Yeah, Barry knows about it.
Oh.
So that tells you that these guys are doing phenomenal with the writing, because we're still in the dark on what this is going to be.
Right.
I think that's where it goes back to Supergirl. We're able to telegraph a lot of stuff. We can call stuff as it's coming. But I think they're still keeping the CBS executives happy. They're changing things and making it better.
That's right there.
But
of course they like the short skirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a short skirt. Hey, even Jeb Bush was like going...
There are a couple of new...
hanging the tongue out over that. Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of new trailers out for Legends of Tomorrow, too, if you haven't caught them yet. They've been out for, you know, a few days or a week by now anyway.
Yeah.
If you haven't caught those are out there, too. If you're not already hyped enough for it anyway.
Yeah, this show... Oh, did you put on your list there the casting from this past week?
For
Jewel State. Jewel State from Firefly has been cast as a character in Legends of Tomorrow.
She's playing in one episode.
Yeah. Well, it's a character, I guess. She's not from the comic books, but she's an ancestor from one of the comic book characters. She's actually one of the people in the future.
She could be a red shirt. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's apparently she's an ancestor of someone significant or something. Like, they won't name who it is.
Right.
So, but we know with these shows, your one-time cameo or one-time guest star on an episode could turn into much, much more. Especially
a character, definitely.
Especially an actress like this who already has the massive geek cred to start with. And the fans are going to love the fact that she's in the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
so.
True.
Could
That's
she
true.
Be... Wait, wrong.
Yeah. Okay, I guess should moving on to the next week near the end of January. there's another literary geek thing happening on the 23rd. The Esquire channel is debuting a Beowulf series.
It looks good.
This looks really good.
Yeah.
So is it going to be as good as that CG Beowulf movie?
Even better than the Beowulf movie that came out about five.
That weird partly animated
one. Yeah, it was like partly animated one, yeah.
That's what I was actually asking, if it was going to be better than that. You think it'll be better than the Christopher Lambert Beowulf?
Oh, I think anything's better than Christopher Lambert.
Nothing.
I think a backyard production would be better than the Christopher Lambert Beowulf.
Wasn't that one set in the future?
Don't get me wrong, but I'm just being honest.
Yeah, but wasn't that one set in the future? Or something like that? It was a different take on the way they did it?
Yeah, so it totally messes it up anyway.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay, and the big
it's like
one
Highlander 2.
For a lot of geeks, January 24th, The X-Files comes back, which is a Sunday. So all the X-Fillians, what are they? I have no idea what X-Files fans are called. It's almost like they should be called X-Files, but...
With the PH, I think they're called X-Files.
X-Files with a PH?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that premieres on a Sunday, and subsequent episodes are going to air on Mondays. I didn't see a time for when the Monday ones would air, but the Sunday
probably
ones...
Probably 9 o'clock.
8 p.m.
You got to think, that probably 9 o'clock. Is Gotham back yet? Or is this Gotham coming back after that?
Gotham's after that.
Okay.
Because on the 25th, on the Monday, you have the new show Lucifer, which looks pretty fun. And you also have The Magicians on Sci-Fi, and then for some geeks, American Dad is back.
Okay.
So I thought it was gone.
No, I thought American Dad was done, but
I thought it was gone years ago.
Like The Simpsons, it won't go away. We jump to Friday the 29th with Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and Grimm coming back.
That's interesting. They're putting Vampire Diaries and Originals on the same night again?
Yeah. One's at 8, one's at 9. I don't know if they'll end up switching, but it's kind of odd that it's... I didn't know that they were on Fridays, but I don't watch it anyway.
I think Vampire Diaries is slowly done.
Vampire Diaries may have the end of the season, and that's it. Well, that's a new night for both of those. And this may be them just trying to finish out the series, because Friday night is the death night for TV. If you could put on Friday nights, they're not expecting much out of you.
Yeah. Although Grimm has done pretty well.
Yeah.
Grimm has stayed up on Fridays.
Well, for some reason, NBC, since the early 2000s, has been able to pull off Friday nights. That's where Heroes was at. That's where Chuck was at. Grimm is there now. What else was there? Right. What was with Grimm to start with? There was something that was running in front of Grimm. Oh, it was another geek show. But that's just NBC. NBC has branded Friday night as their geek night.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, then we get into February with The Muppets returning on February 2nd.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see what the changes are, because they have a brand new show running for the second half. They're going for a change in the show.
Yeah, I watched the first episode, and that's all I made it.
Skinless bacon?
I couldn't get it. That's right. then Friday, February 5th, we have Sleepy Hollow coming back, which is great. I love that show. Then we get to Valentine's Day weekend, and The Walking Dead returns on Valentine's Day. And even more importantly, later that week, Vikings returns on the History Channel on the 18th of February.
Oh, that's Vicky can't wait for that one. That's a great show.
Oh yeah.
Have you guys seen any of the European episodes of that?
No.
It's a different show. The European version of Vikings is more of an HBO style show, if that makes any sense to you. It's edited a little differently.
Those are optional.
Oh really?
Yeah, they don't crop the shots as closely on some of them. So after Vikings.
We jump to February 29th, the Monday, and that's when Gotham returns.
Okay.
So, considering it's on at 8 p.m. on Mondays, if X-Files is going to be on Mondays, it'll be at 9, I would think.
Right.
But yeah, and we have a couple of bits of news on Gotham, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We have the... Okay, everyone knows what if you watch Gotham, you know what happened with Barbara throwing herself off the cathedral or whatever, the church or whatever.
Yeah.
It was. Mm-hmm. And everyone, me hoping she was dead, but no, she's back. Okay, I knew she wasn't gonna be dead, but I really hoped she was, because she's the worst character on the show. So and apparently there's going to be still some sort of relationship with Gordon.
Yeah.
And then
the next part kind of goes with that, because I believe
they have said that they're going to deal with the birth of Batgirl at some point.
Yeah.
Now whether you see it or it's mentioned, yeah.
Well, the birth of Batgirl is going to be kind of gross anyways.
Well, I'm wondering if they're not going to change it up a little bit and actually, what's her name? Leslie Tompkins becomes the mother. Because she's pregnant on the show.
And in real life.
Right.
So they may just change it up to where Barbara is not the mother, Leslie is.
Well, that's just it, because they have screwed up the Barbara Keene character so much.
Right.
Not be what Jim Gordon would end up with.
Right.
They turned her to Harley Quinn, because they couldn't use Harley Quinn.
But all of this comes from Ben McKenzie himself.
It'll be interesting to see how they do it.
Yeah. Well, all of the news there comes from Ben McKenzie himself. He was at Wizard World New Orleans this weekend, and it was all from a panel he did there. So there's another big one I know of on here that I know is probably on your list, too. They actually cast Penguin's father. This was from a couple weeks ago, but Paul Reubens is going to be coming to the show to play Penguin's father.
Yeah, they've had the image out for that already, too.
It actually looks really cool in the picture. They've made it to where both of them look pretty good together as father-son. There's a good resemblance.
They do, even without makeup, they kind of look vaguely alike.
Yeah.
Okay.
We skip into March, and on the 6th, Once Upon a Time comes back. I gave up on that a while ago, so I kind of don't know where that is. But I know our pal Clint is happy.
Yeah, the beginning of the season went a little off the rails, but since then they're starting to bring it back. I was all excited to see Camelot, but
see, it was honestly, weird. It might be something that I'm willing to catch up on when everything's on Netflix and just binge it. But it got too off the rails for me for a bit.
I've heard of that. I've heard that from a lot of people that actually it is a better binge show.
Yeah, because so many of the individual episode storylines just don't seem to mesh very well. But I think if you watched it all together, it would.
Yeah.
And then March 8th, we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back.
Okay.
So we have to wait till March.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to wait till Carter's done.
The big one that was announced,
We got to wait till Agent Carter's done to free up the time slot.
Of course. But and then the big one that was announced last week with a teaser trailer and everything is that Daredevil season 2 comes to Netflix on March 18th.
Oh.
So unlike when they first announced it, it's not going up on the same weekend as Batman Loves Superman. So they're being nice about it. And they're premiering it the weekend before.
Well, like we were speculating before, I don't remember if we said on air or here, but this may free them up to be able to do a third series in the year. By moving Daredevil forward to March, maybe we'll have an earlier midsummer show where Luke Cage will end up at, and we'll get, and this will make Kylan happy, we may get Iron Fist by November.
Well, I mean, they've been filming Luke Cage anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
But they don't even have... They don't even have casting for Iron Fist.
Right, yeah. They don't.
Well, if they're going for November, they wouldn't even start.
And they haven't said when they're expecting Luke Cage to drop either.
Yeah. Well, if they were going for maybe like a November, like I was thinking, Iron Fist, they wouldn't even have to go in front of cameras until June.
Will there be a second season of Jessica Jones?
They may still be counting the numbers to see how the replays are going on that. Because mm-hmm. Jessica Jones didn't hit as big as Daredevil.
It was March of last year that Daredevil premiered. So that's a year later.
Oh, okay.
So if they stay with that sort of scheduling, Luke Cage could come out in the summer. Jessica Jones can come out again in the fall.
Right.
Possibly.
So, but that basically covers our first quarter. And then we've got other ones coming up in April. So far announced are Game of Thrones and Fear the Walking Dead, but we can talk about those closer to the dates.
Okay. Then also, about then, we'll have a little bit more info on what's coming for summer, too. Because you always have a couple of really good shows they toss out through the summer, so I'll be looking forward to that. So I think that covers most of TV. Did you have any TV, babe? Anything else that we didn't cover? Well, we skimmed over a little bit. We got half a minute. Anybody who hasn't seen Gallivant, if you like Disney, the old school Disney musical cartoons, Gallivant feels like a live action Disney cartoon. Have you guys watched it at all?
Nope.
I didn't watch it.
A straight up medieval musical. Okay. And it is hilarious. Alan Menken is doing a lot of the music on it. The guy who did The Little Mermaid and I believe Lion King and a couple of the other Disney classic Disney Renaissance movies. So he's doing a lot of music.
Okay.
But some of the songs, you'll sit there listening. He's like, wait, did they just say what I thought they just said? There's a bunch of in-jokes in the songs that I think you guys would enjoy. I would suggest giving, even if you just start with episode 1 of season 2, they're only half-hour episodes.
Right.
Give one a try and see what you think, and actually listen to it when they're singing the songs and stuff. It's awesome. There's some great comedy in there. And the nice thing is they don't take themselves seriously.
Right.
They know this is a musical. So that's all I had. I think, Vicky, you said that covered most of what you had for TV. How about you guys? Is there anything else you want to add?
My notes downstairs.
I don't think there was anything else that we had for, at least for the first quarter, based on what's been out there. Because, there's going to be a lot more news about the, like you said, about the summer stuff and about the rest of the things coming out later year.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can't. I think we pretty much covered the first quarter pretty well, so.
Yep.
And actually, we're doing great on time, guys. We're right where we need to be. Geeksters, now you know our email address. It's kylanandken@gmail.com. Now, let us know, what are you looking forward to that's coming out in the next couple months? What are you not looking forward to? Did we hit it right on? Did we miss something? Let us know. Send us an email. Or if you need, go Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that at Kylan and Ken. We've caught everything. Remember, go to our www.geekwatch1.com. From there, you can find over on the sponsors page our link to Patreon. Patreon, we're still looking for that first subscriber, guys. We know you guys are listening. You know you're enjoying the show. Give us a little bit of love. Help us out. You never know what you can get through being a member. We're still working on some of the perks that you may get even more than what it says on there. But from there, also on the sponsors link is links to all the different affiliate websites that are helping us out anytime you click through one of those links. Doesn't cost you any extra. You can go to Amazon, Redbubble. Who was some of the other ones we got on there, Miss Dawn?
Redbubble. A couple t-shirt places. We have superhero stuff. We've got everything you need to get some toys, some comics, some shirts. Her universe is on there too if you want some nice geeky dresses and that. So we've got a good selection.
And now, remember, guys, that doesn't cost you any extra. All it is you click on the link, you go to their site, and then you buy what you're going to buy anyway. And all it does is they thank us for sending you to the site. That's our Patreon. I've already given you most of our contact information. Remember, send us the emails at kylanandken@gmail.com. We're looking for emails, guys. We'll read you on the air, and you'll get a big thank you from us and big virtual hugs through your ear holes. So I think that covers most of the show for today. So for Kylan, for Miss Dawn, for Miss Vicky, for myself, remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.